You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The GMAD New Zealand Media Ownership Report is an annual report by AUT's Media Mililati, a philosophy doctorate who looks into media ownership trends locally and internationally. This year's trends include a growth in privately owned media outlets and the constant decline in print media. I spoke to Media about this and what it means for New Zealand.
So, you've just released another annual report looking into media ownership trends in New Zealand media. Can you tell me a bit about this report and why it's important?
Yeah, so this is our seventh report of the media ownership, and it is kind of, you know, state of the news media in New Zealand report, where we look at, you know, the patterns and trends, what's been going on in the media. So it kind of, you know, gives you the good indication over the years that how the different ownership is shifting in New Zealand and what are the key events and trends. And I think it's been picked up by the public and media companies and organizations like Transparency New Zealand. So it's quite clear that there's some use for it.
Obviously, a decline in print media and a growth in digital media is a key trend over the past few years. Have there been any other major trends that you found in New Zealand media ownership?
What we found this year is first time in 7 years we saw sort of, you know, the major shift in ownership. And what's happened is that we have had a strong corporate media sector, which has been owned by financial institutions and then the state or crown. And this year we saw the pattern that we have actually more independently and locally owned media companies than those crown and shareholder owned companies. And that is the interesting trend to see, and it should be good for the media sector, at least in the short term.
And what do you attribute to this trend in growth to?
Yeah, we had some. We have had a couple of, you know, new entrants coming to the market. We had a spin-off, which is digital startup, came to the market about 3 years ago, and it has some content, current affairs and news kind of content. And then we had Newsroom entering the market this March, and that expanded again the digital news offerings. And then the Bauer Media, which owns the Listener and Metro and those magazines, also started a new website, which offered some of the current affairs articles. So we have seen this, you know, digital news market expanding in that way.
And before you said that, it was good that there are more independently owned digital outlets growing. Do you think that's good because there's sort of less homogenization in media reporting, or is there another reason?
Yeah, I think the competition is always good. You know, you have a healthy competition. Journalists like to compete each other, and they go for the stories. It's always good to have different kind of outlets in the market, and as we have seen in a newsroom, for example, it's quite different from the others. They don't do like day-to-day news, but they go after the news investigations, and they have been breaking some great stories. So it is good to see, you know, more of that kind of, you know, public interest stories coming to the light. And I think the competition is a key here.
And you also mentioned in the report that there has been a decline in local print media, which would probably mean there's less local and community-orientated storytelling. Do you think there's a way to increase that?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's a worry, of course. We have seen that plenty of, you know, regional and local newspapers have cut the publication days, and they have also reduced workforce, and it is a real worry what happens with the local and regional reporting. I think maybe the one way to deal with it for the government would be to use that new public interest journalism fund, if they're launching that, then to support really the regional and local news outlets. Maybe the, you know, local people are buying the news outlets, or they are starting new ventures or something, but something we, you know, should see government support maybe to make sure that we have that crucial local and regional reporting. I think it's crucial for the local communities to be informed about the decisions.
And do you think the government would then need to increase sort of regulation on public interest broadcasting to ensure these stories are being told?
Yes, I haven't actually, you know, thought so thoroughly about the regulation. I know that we have regulations in other countries, and there are plenty of examples internationally. I think it's the regulating market is good in many ways, but I think I would more advocate supporting the ground, you know, the ground journalism and the startups and digital startups and local news outlets. I think that that's a healthy way to go about it.
So offering a support fund for them?
Right.
And so we know the government has pledged to further the funds in public interest journalism, but are there any other sort of anticipated changes that you expect from the new government?
I think they have pledged money for Radio New Zealand, and then there has been a lot of discussion about turning Radio New Zealand to the public interest television. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think the new broadcasting minister, Claire Curran, she said that they are consulting with Radio New Zealand and other parties and see if that's a viable thing to do. So I think, you know, they have committed themselves to support public interest journalism, so I hope they will do that.
Is there anything that makes you doubt that they would?
Not really. I don't doubt it, but I rather, you know, I always want to see the real actions, not just talk.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the report outlines both trends in global media ownership and trends in national ownership. What are the key similarities and differences between them?
We have seen the digital news markets expanding, of course, elsewhere. But I think on the other hand, we have also seen in the USA, for example, some digital startups, and, you know, they have some revenue troubles now, which is a little bit worrying. And I think we have seen in the broadcasting sector, we have seen mergers in the USA and in Europe. And, of course, if you look close to home, look what's going on in Australia. So the ownership regulations have changed there, which, you know, opens up the avenues for the mergers there. So we are a little bit in a, you know, us, we still don't know what happens with the NZME and Fairfax merger. We have pushed, you know, we haven't actually get out the consolidation in the market sector compared to the other international markets, but who knows what the High Court decision will be.
What do you think the market is sort of doing to sort of encourage these mergers? Like, why is this a viable option for companies?
Yeah, I think the fundamentally the companies merging or acquiring other companies is based on the cost savings and prospects of the cost savings. And if you look at the NZME and Fairfax, so justification for the merger is financial, because their print revenues are declining and their digital revenues are not growing quickly enough. So they have the only way they can actually then to make that profit is to cut costs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.